Roa is the first word. Okay, the Alter Rebbe is explaining about realizing that Hashem looks at whatever we're doing, and even though Hashem doesn't have a physical eye that sees, but on the contrary, by knowing himself, and that's what he's saying, by God knowing himself, because everything comes from Hashem, by knowing himself, he knows everything. Just like a person feels pain from his limbs, not something coming outside of him, it's just, he knows himself it is. See, that's what we're up to. See, he says like this, V'gam ke'en l'idmos ha'guf, even though he's, because Alter Rebbe is explaining how do you awaken this fear. And the fear is the realization that Hashem sees everything and knows everything and all that. So he says, V'gam ke'en l'idmos, these few lines we learned, V'gam ke'en l'idmos ha'guf, even though God doesn't have an image of a body. So what do you mean God sees? Sees is a human term. He says that the Adram, on the contrary, Hakol Golavi Yodol Lefanav Yisparich, on the contrary, because God is not limited in a body, he sees better than a body. Sight is limited what your eyes are able to catch. Right? And he can't see through something, and he can't see away from the vision. So it's more revealed, but yes, it says the Inketz, infinitely more. It's as an analogy. It's much, on the contrary, God sees and hears better than we do. Like the Alter Rebbe explains in later on in Gersa Kedish, Simon Zach. The Alter Rebbe quotes the Zohar that we say at the oil, those that say the Zohar part, that a tzaddik, after he passes away, is found more in the world, is found in this world, more than when he passes away. Why is it tzaddik? What? What does that mean? Okay. When a tzaddik is in a body, he is limited. Number one, he needs to eat and drink. Okay. He can't be in two places at the same time. Correct? Right. He can't work 24/7. He needs to eat and sleep. He's limited. Yeah. A neshama that's not in a body is not restricted. It could be all over the place simultaneously. We learned in the past, I'm going off a little bit, it's important. We learned in the past that there's a story in the Zohar. There was a yeshiva in the mountains of Tzfas called the Idra. That was Idra, is the Aramaic for yeshiva. It was the Kabbalistic yeshiva of Shimba Yochai. And Eliyahu HaNavi used to come there every day. Don't ask me the technicalities. He was there every day. One day he didn't show up. Next day he came to ask him for a note of absence. So Eliyahu HaNavi said, I had to save this great rabbi, Rav Amnuna Sava. The old Rav Amnuna was in danger. And I had to save him. And therefore I can't be in two places at the same time. Okay? That's what the Zohar says. So Chassidus asks the question, 1 minute. Eliyahu HaNavi comes to every bris. Eliyahu HaNavi comes to the Seder. Eliyahu HaNavi, what do you mean can't be two places at the same time? You know how many bris in the world there are at the same time, and he somehow gets to all of them. Right? Without the reindeer. But he gets there. So the question is, what type of saying that Eliyahu HaNavi couldn't come to the yeshiva because he was saving Rav Amnuna Sava? So in the Friedrich Rebbe in my mind, all the rabbis explain this. That to save that particular story, to save it of Amnuna Sava, Eliyahu HaNavi had to come into a body. And once he comes in a body, he can't be in two places at the same time. When he comes to a bris, he's not there physically. He's neshama. You could be all over the place. Right? So a tzaddik who is not in this world is not restricted by physical eyesight being in one place at the same time. So tzaddik, a neshama, could be all over the place at the same time. So the Alter Rebbe is saying over here, the fact that, on the contrary, the fact that God doesn't have physical eyes and doesn't see physical hearing and physical seeing, on the contrary, it's bigger seeing and bigger hearing than just the physical eyesight. And you know, coming from the Yom Tov of Shavuos, seeing, even in life, you don't need to see something to see it. or you don't need to hear something to hear it, so to speak. If you're tuned in to the person, you can feel their pain without necessarily seeing it or hearing it or whatever it is. So that's because the seeing, like by Matan Torah, they saw the voices. They heard the visions. Okay, that means it reached the level of the neshama, which was above the physical limitations of seeing and listening. I'll give you another example. Normally voices you hear, okay, but when you record it on these machines, you know, the Laura Yane story? Okay. When you see it on the machine, the waves, you're actually seeing the voice. You're seeing, the waves.
The sonogram.
Well, you know, there's a sonogram for talking. But yeah, it's the same point.
The sound waves.
This, you see the sound waves. Yeah. Right? Also, you know, when you have musical notes, I mean, I don't know notes, but people that know notes can look at the notes and sing the song
based
on the notes. So again, that's hearing and it's the same. You sing and hearing, it's like, because it doesn't only mean that. So he says, by Hashem, the fact that Hashem doesn't have a body, so obviously he sees more and he hears more and he knows much more. It's like the analogy of a person who feels within himself. Everything that's happening, what's occurring, in any one of the 248 limbs. For instance, if you're cold or hot, right, you feel it. Even God, like it says, if you burn your toe, yeah, so you feel it, even though you didn't see it. The same thing with essence. And anything that affects any part of the body, the brain gets it. The brain feels. So does the brain see it? No. But by knowing yourself, because the brain is the nerve center of the body, so by the brain being itself, it feels the pain in every part of the body. And so it is by Hashem, which is even more by Hashem. Yedei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem knows. Kol HaNifl, everything that's happening. B'chol HaNivroim, in all creations, whether Elyonim, the spiritual ones, Tachtonim, the physical creations, Liyaz Kulam Mishpoim Mimani Yizbarich, because everything is sustained from Hashem. So therefore Hashem knows and feels everything. Like it says, Mimcha HaKol, everything is from you. Right? So if a person feels everything that's going on in their body, Hashem for sure feels and knows everything that's going on in the world. Because it's like one big body. This is what the Pasuk says. Gam kol yitzur. No creature le'nichcha mimeko is hidden from you. You can't hide from God. You know, Yaina and the whale, you know the story of Yom Kippur with Yaina and the whale? Yaina tried running away from God, but he wasn't too successful. I mean, he did it for Kedusha reasons, but you can't run away from, you know, it's interesting, there were people that after the war, after World War II, they wanted to run away from Yiddishkeit. And they ran to Australia where they thought nobody's going to find them as a Jew. You know, they ended up getting found anyway. You know, somehow Chabad finds you, or somebody's going to find you and remind you that you're Jewish. You're Jewish anyway. You can never run away from it. Okay, commission. Because of the Rambam writes, "V'eskimul azeh chachmi haKabbalah," and the Kabbalists all agree with him. Commission. Because of the Ramak, the commission could have already writes in the Pardes. What does he write? "Shev yadias atzmi," by God knowing Himself, kaviyochel, so to speak. "Yedeya kol anivroyim," God knows, and kol all creations. That exist because of God's true existence. The Rambam writes this, by the way, at the beginning of Rambam, all the way at the beginning, and the Ramak writes it in Kabbalah, that by Hashem knowing himself, he knows everything. Why? You can't know something outside of you, but something in you, which is you, so by knowing you, you know you. Because nothing leaves Hashem, everything is Hashem. So by Hashem knowing himself, he obviously knows everything. So therefore, what does it say? A person needs to reflect what he was saying when we started. There's an eye that sees, there's an ear that hears, and everything is written in the books. He says, how is a person supposed to stimulate this fear of Hashem, so to speak, through the realization that whatever we do, God knows. It's like the policeman watching when you're going through a red light. Okay, you're not going to do it. If you know and you're aware that he's watching you and he's there to give you a ticket, you're not going to do it. You're not going to rob a bank if there's a whole bunch of cops around. Right? Because you're going to get caught. So he says, awakening this fear and awe of Hashem within us is the awareness that whatever we do, Hashem knows about. They tell a story. There was a rabbi was being driven by a wagon driver. And they were passing a beautiful orchard. So the wagon driver wasn't so honest or whatever. So he stops the wagon. He wants to go steal some fruit from the orchard. And he tells the rabbi, this naive guy in the carriage, and he says to him, you stand guard and tell me if anybody's watching. He goes, he's about to take a fruit. The rabbi screams, Mizet, Mizet, they see. So he comes back and runs back into the wagon. He's looking around, nobody's there. So he says, what are you talking about? He says, God sees. God is watching what you're doing. What do you mean you don't see? God is seeing. And that's the main thing. Okay, so then the question is, if God doesn't see and God doesn't hear, why is the Mishnah using that analogy that there's an eye that sees and an ear that hears? It's, what's the expression, that to appeal to the ear. That means the ear should be able to have a little bit of a concept of it. So God speaks in our terms that there's an eye that sees and an ear that hears, that we should understand it a little bit. Avo be'emes, truthfully. And amashul deimel le'nimshul klal. The analogy, there's no similarity between the analogy of what we're comparing it to. Why? Ki nefesh ha'odom, because the soul of a person, afilo asichlis v'elikis, even the godly soul or the intellectual soul of the person, mispa'elis memu'uri aguf, becomes affected by the body, v'tzare in its pain. In other words, the neshama feels the pain of the body. Why? Because the neshama isn't clothed in the body. It's one with the body. Right? Because it's one with the body. So then it feels the pain of the body. But God is not connected to the world. So God doesn't get affected, so to speak, by what we do. We, because we're affected, but we're in the body, so therefore we're affected by the happenings of the body. You know, there's a famous Gemara in Sanhedrin. They always tell it to kids as a story, but I'm sure in this class it was mentioned. One of the goyim asked, I think it was Rabbi Yudah Nasi, if I'm not mistaken, says, you know, when a person comes upstairs after 120 years, they can get out of any punishment. I said, why? The body is going to say, me? I sinned? I'm a hunk of meat. Without the soul, I'm dead. I can't do anything. Right? What do you want from me? I didn't do it. I'm a hunk of meat. The soul says, I sinned? The body sinned. Who ate the trafe? Who said what they shouldn't? Who didn't? What do you want from me? So the guy asked, I think it was Rabbi Yudah Nasi, you can get out, a person can get out of punishment upstairs. So Rabbi Yudah Nasi told him an analogy. He said there was a king that had a beautiful orchard. It was so luscious, he couldn't hire a guard because the guard would eat up the fruit. So what did he do? He hired two people. One was blind and one was crippled. And he said, the blind guy won't see the fruits. the crippled guy can't climb the tree to get the fruits, I'm safe. This went on for a day or two. Finally, the crippled guy, who could see, says to the blind guy, you know, this is disgusting. We can't eat the fruit. I have a good idea. I'm crippled, and you can walk. I'll get up on your shoulders. I'll lead you. You're blind. I'll lead you. I will pick the fruits off the tree, and we'll have a feast. So they did it. The next day, the king sees orchards empty, or whatever, missing. So he calls them in, and he says to the blind guy, brought both of them together. He said, what did you do? The blind guy says, me? I'm blind. What? I can't see anything. Crippled guy says, me? I can't climb the trees. What do you want from me? It's not me. So what did the king do? He put the crippled guy on top of the blind guy and beat him up together. Because it was one unit of crime. So the same thing Rebbe said to this guy, when the neshama comes upstairs, it's not going to be able to be a cop out. The neshama says, me, and this is, but God's going to put the neshama and the body together and beat them up both together. It's a famous story. They tell it to kids in school about, so he says like this. So the neshama and the body is different than the analogy of Hashem in world. Because like it said, Aval Kodesh Baruch Hu, God doesn't become affected. The neshama becomes affected by the body. Because if the body's in pain, the neshama feels the pain. The body doesn't feel pain. That, but people don't feel pain. The neshama feels the pain. Why? Because the neshama is connected to the body. It's one entity, and therefore it feels it. But by Hashem, Hashem is not connected to the world to say that whatever goes on in the world, he is affected by it. All the things, not the world and everything in it. He says doesn't cause any change in Hashem whatsoever. To understand all this concept of the neshama is affected by the goof, by the body, and Hashem isn't. He says b'sifreihem. Already the rabbis, already the scholars already spoke about this in their books. Ach kol Yisrael ma'minim b'nei ma'minim. But Jews are believers, the children of believers. B'lishim chakira seichel anushi, without any necessary intellectual. V'eimnim we say, atu atchlei nivra ha'olam, you are the same God before the world, you're the same God after the world. Nothing changes in you, world doesn't change you, and therefore, that's what we believe. So the analogy is not really a good mashal, because the analogy, the body and the soul is affected by the body. Because the pain is felt by the soul. By Hashem, nothing's felt. Because he's not affected by it. What did the Altar Rebbe learn, say before in Parakhov? What?
Physically,
yeah, it's a very good question. Does Hashem care if we do mitzvahs?
Yes, of course.
Yes, pleasure.
Yeah.
That means he's connected.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. Do you care what a little bug 1,000 miles away does? Are you affected by him in any way? No. Yet us and the bug are more connected than us and Hashem, because Hashem's infinite and we're limited, right? So why in the world does Hashem care? Because he wants to. So there are different levels of godliness which are affected or not affected. To give you a simple example, which we learned in Maimarim and in Chassidus all over the place. In Shema we say, if you listen to mitzvahs, you'll get rain in the proper time. Right? Second paragraph of Shema. If you don't, and you turn away from Hashem, I'm going to hold back the rain. There's not going to be rain, and the earth will not produce. Okay. Yes? Which means, that our mitzvahs affect what's going on. Whether God will give rain or God won't give rain. Hashem gives the rain, right? It says, I will hold back the heavens, right? Okay. Yet, there's another level of godliness that the kids say in the Bar Mitzvah Maimer. It's all over the place, but the kids say in the Bar Mitzvah Maimer, Im chatasim atifel bay, if you sinned, what did you do to him? V'rabu pshach, if you have abundance of sins, what did you do to him? Tzedakta, if you did good, you gave him anything. There's a level of godliness that is affected by us in the world. Okay. That's the level of God that does permeate the world. Hear that when the Alter Rebbe says over here in Tanya that God doesn't permeate the world, unlike the neshama in the body, right? That's referring to what's called Seviv Kol Alman, the level of godliness that doesn't permeate the world. It doesn't dress itself into the world. But there is a level called Mamalu Kol Alman, the permeating level of God, that does permeate the world. And that level of godliness is affected by what we do because God wants it that way. Here the Alter Rebbe is speaking about a level which is not connected to the world, the infinite level of God, which is, by the way, the level of do, not D-O.
D-E-W.
D-E-W, good.
Thank you.
You probably graduated college to know how to spell that word. Yeah. Yeah, ask most kids to don't do. They have spell check, yeah?
Yeah,
okay. So, do will never stop, whether Jews behave or not. The Gemara says, Tali Netzer, do will never stop. Why? Because do comes from a level of godliness that's not affected by world at all. Okay? Therefore, that level of do is so great that it's not a level of God that's connected to the world that what we do affects. It's totally disconnected to the world. And therefore, we just celebrate Shavuos, right? When Hashem spoke, the neshamas popped out of the bodies, right? It's too great for them. And the Gemara says, God resurrected them with the do that he's going to resurrect the dead. That means the resurrection of the dead will come, what do you mean from do? And there's no do up there. It's a level which represents an essential level of godliness that is so great, that level of godliness is going to resurrect the dead. And therefore, to take it even another interesting way, the mun that fell from heaven was covered with do on top and the bottom. One of the reasons we covered a challah, not only because of the wine, because the mun was covered with dew on top and the bottom. It was a dew sandwich.
Yeah.
The mun was a dew sandwich. Okay. The question is, huh?
What's the process?
What's the connection?
No, just kidding. No,
on the mun they made a meitzi lechem in a shemayim.
Oh.
Yeah, it's not done, come from the earth. The Rashba, the other Rishenim write that on the mun they made a bracha meitzi lechem in a shemayim, from the heaven, not from the earth. Okay. But the point, how does the mon get to do? So Chassidus explains, the mon, which was this food from God, super levels of godliness, there was no waste, it was a super level of holiness that comes from the level of do. And therefore, that level of godliness is totally unaffected. Here the Alter Rebbe is speaking about that higher level that's not affected by world. Yeah, but in the level of Mamala Kol Alman, yeah, where God is affected, Hashem goes into exile when we do. If Hashem couldn't care less what we do, why is he in exile together with us? Because that's the level of Shekhinah, the lower level of Elokus that deals with the world. That level of godliness is affected by world. Okay.